It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. A documentary filmmaker from India will be in East Lansing for a screening of his latest movie tonight. Current State Scott Pohl is here with a preview. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark. This filmmaker is named Sanjay Kak, and his latest is called Red Ant Dream. It's a reflection on modern-day revolution in India. The MSU College of Arts and Letters will screen the film on campus tonight, and Kak will be there. Red Ant Dream is the third in a cycle of films, so I started by asking Sanjay Kak about the first two of these documentaries.
Words in Water was a film that is set in the Narmada Valley of central India, where for almost two decades, there has been a very vibrant and important movement against large dams. And the Save the Narmada movement actually became, it developed into quite an international phenomenon because, amongst other things, they were the first social movement that actually persuaded the World Bank to withdraw its support for a large dam. So Words on Water was made, it was finished in 2002, and it looked at what happens in a democracy, which is ostensibly what India is, what happens in a democracy when very large numbers of people decide that a certain project, in this case a dam, they just simply don't want it because it's quite clear to them that it brings them no benefits and it causes them great loss, you know. So that was in 2002. And then I followed it up in 2007 with another long feature-length film called Jashn-e-Azadi, which the English sort of subtitle of it is How We Celebrate Freedom. And this was a film that looked at what was happening in the north of India, in Kashmir, where for at least 25 years, there has been a very, very major resistance, a separatist resistance, and which was, where it turned into an armed rebellion in 1990. And of course, it has a much older history, a history that goes back to the partition of India, British India, to 1947. So together, both these films were looking at very different aspects of democracy in India, but taking a critical view about what are the ways in which democracy has actually transpired in India, as opposed to how we imagine it to have worked out.
Red Ant Dream, then, is the third film in this cycle. Is it meant to be a trilogy, or will there be more films?
Well, I suppose, it wasn't planned as a trilogy, but when Red Ant Dream was finished, it was hardly for me to see it as a trilogy, but I think some other people began to see that there was a certain a landscape that the three films collectively covered. So yes, in a sense, it is a trilogy, but it's not complete in any sense because the argument with Indian democracy and how it plays out is, as you can imagine, an endless one in a country of 1.2 billion people. So there could be more films. Perhaps I might not be necessarily the person to make those films, but I think that this is a conversation which will go on.
Please explain the title, Red Ant Dream, and give us a synopsis of this new film.
The film is set or takes its sparks off from central India in what is called Chhattisgarh. It's a state very much in the heart of India. It's very rich in forests, and it's populated largely by what we call Adivasis or indigenous people. And it's also extremely rich in mineral resources. And as you can imagine, this is quite an explosive combination because, where forests sit atop mineral reserves, then you can be pretty sure that very soon somebody will want those forests to disappear. And India is not the only place this has happened in or where it will happen again. So the difference is that when mining companies started moving in, the resistance by the indigenous people very quickly got conflated with what we call the Maoists, who are extreme left-wing group. And so the Maoist resistance to the entry of the Indian state into those forests is where the film begins. And then it moves to other parts of eastern India, where there are similar resistances to mining, except they may not be armed. They may not take the form of an armed rebellion. So that's the ground of the film. But what it really is a reflection on what we call the revolutionary ideal in India. And if I can just take a moment to say that, you know, we ask ourselves that what or who is a revolutionary? And I think our definition while working on this film is that, you know, revolutionaries are those who don't accept that the world has to be the way it is, you know, that we are not here only to tinker and improve it, but, you know, we really do want to change the way things are. And I think when an Adivasi or an indigenous person in the forests of Bastar refuses to move and give up his land and his life because somebody wants to mine the iron ore that his home is sitting on, that is a revolutionary act, you know. And so that's what the film is an examination of. It's an exploration of the revolutionary ideal in India. And it's called Red Ant Dream, partially as an act of some whimsy, and partially because there are red ants in the film, and also because there is a dream of another world embedded somewhere within the film as well.
I want to talk with you about a couple of people who we learn about in the film. One is Bhagat Singh, who was a revolutionary who was executed in 1931, and the poet Pash, who was assassinated in 1988. Red Ant Dream shows people who connect their deaths on the same date, referring to them as the martyrs of 23 March. What connects Bhagat Singh and Pash besides the dates of their deaths?
You know, Bhagat Singh is a very, very important figure in the public imagination of India. He was 23, as you have figured, when he was sentenced to death by the British. But already he had taken up a huge place in the imagination of young Indians because he was, in exactly the same ways that I have said to you earlier, he was a revolutionary. He, in his case, unlike the other figures involved in the national movement, figures such as Mahatma Gandhi or Jawaharlal Nehru, they were not interested in accommodating or coming to an arrangement with the British over the independence of India. So he continues to his image, the image of this 23-year-old, and he's sometimes shown in a hat, carrying a revolver in his hand. He's sometimes shown in a yellow turban. But he was a very good-looking young man who left behind a small body of very impressive text, you know, very brief. And he was a socialist. He was a self-confessed communist. And yet he remains an inspiring figure for people across the intellectual landscape of India. So that was Bhagat Singh. Pash was a young, very angry poet who wrote in the you know, late 60s and early 70s. This very angry, acidic kind of poetry, which was a very, very blistering critique of Indian society as it had developed in the years after independence. And of course, he came in the same sort of, let's say, the genealogy from which Bhagat Singh came. And I mean, I'm not the person who actually put the two together, because in the state of Punjab, which is in North India, which is where Pash came from, which is where Bhagat Singh came from, people have been celebrating now for many years the anniversary of their death, and in a sense, making a kind of connection with the past. Bhagat Singh, you know, from the 1930s, Pash in the early 70s, and then I use that connection to present it with the present. So that's the reason why these sort of links are made.
We also hear the voice of a Maoist named Azad, who's described in your film as the voice of the Communist Party of India.
Violence is a structural feature of our society. It is an inbuilt, inherent characteristic of the existing unjust, authoritarian, hierarchical, oppressive, and rotten society.
Tell me the role of Azad in your film, Red Ant Dream.
Well, you know, like many people who are part of the Communist Party of India, Maoist, which is a banned party in India, so it's anybody who's part of the party is underground, and obviously there's no overt contact with them. Azad was their spokesperson, the official spokesperson for the party. And of course, there was no way that I could meet him. But we obtained a long audio interview of his, which later was available in the public domain as well, which is a very, very impressive and coherent and persuasive. It reflected a very cohesive and coherent vision of what they saw they were engaged in, as opposed to the popular depiction of these people as just some crazy, you know, heart of darkness, kind of mad Maoists in the forest. So I use that audio in the film in order to give the viewers a sense of who are these guys in the forest? What do they believe in? What do they think? What are they saying? You know, and of course, tragically, before the film could be finished, Azad was actually drawn out of the forest by the Indian government through negotiators in order to begin a process of negotiating some kind of arrangement. And of course, he was killed in what the police claimed was an encounter. That's the word that is used in India. But all evidence pointed to the fact that he was eliminated in a cold-blooded killing. So in a sense, that voice of rationality that you hear in the film met a terrible fate. You know, he came out in order to negotiate a peace, but was killed.
The Michigan State University College of Arts and Letters will screen Red Ant Dream, part of their global film series, at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday in room B122 of Wells Hall on the MSU campus. Director and writer Sanjay Kak will be there for a question and answer session after the screening. Sanjay Kak, thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Scott, for a wonderful conversation.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.